Because we're going to be doing something a little different this morning. I hope you brought your Bible this morning because you're going to definitely need it, all right? Okay, so find your Bibles and get it open and grab your pencil or pen. There's no way you're going to be able to catch everything that I'm going to share with you today. So either get the tape or either write some of this down. And I trust it'll be a blessing to you. I really do. Well, first of all, let me ask you this question. How many of you believe in angels? You believe in angels. I believe in angels. Angels are real. In fact, you better smile because you might be sitting right next to an angel. Do you realize that? You could be sitting next to an angel. In fact, there may be an angel in front of you. There might be one beside you. In fact, the Word of God teaches, and I want to preach today on the subject, angels all around us. Angels all around us. Angels are definitely real. And I hope you believe in angels. One man said, I believe in angels. My wife is an angel. How many believe your wife's an angel? Men, you better raise your hand. And one man said, I believe my wife's an angel. He said, she's always up in the air. She never has anything to wear, and she's harping on something all the time. I know my wife's an angel. I don't know about that, but I'd rather be called an angel than a devil. Did you hear about the lady and the man been married for quite some time? They had a daughter. The daughter had met a young man, and the young man, the daughter said to the mom and the daddy, she said, I love this young man, but tell you the truth, he doesn't believe in the devil, nor does he believe in hell. The mama said, honey, don't you worry about that. If he's around your daddy for 6 months, he'll believe in both the devil and hell, all right? I'd rather be called an angel than the devil any day. But by the way, you know Hollywood has twisted this concept of angels. There's a lady by the name of Rosie Shapiro. I don't know if you've heard of this lady. Supposedly she gets in touch with these guardian angels and conveys some message. Listen, what we need to do today is don't worry about what Hollywood or Walt Disney says about angels or what somebody wrote a book about it. What we need to do is find out what the Bible says about angels. Angels are all around you. You see, if God could just open your eyes, I said if God could just open your eyes this morning, you would look around and see angels are all around us right this moment. If your eyes could be open, I'm telling you, angels are all around us. I love the story, speaking of that, of Vance Havner. He was a great preacher of yesterday, and his wife would say to him occasionally, he poured into preaching the Word of God Sunday after Sunday, and his wife said to him, said, honey, why do you spend all this time studying and preparing and to preach the Word of God on Sunday? Why do you devote all this time to do it? There's only going to be a few people in church on Sunday. And Vance Havner said to his wife, he said, honey, don't forget, we've got a heavenly audience as well. I want you to know there are angels all around us right this moment, all around us. If we could just open our eyes to see angels, they're watching over you. I love the story that I read. Suppose it's a true story. Rennie Shivers recorded it in one of his books that he has written. And it's the story of a lady who was a missionary. She was by herself. All of a sudden, a terrorist, this thief, broke into her home. And he was going to rob her and hurt her. And unexplainable now, she's got a doorway between her room and the thief. He's got a machete in his hand. And all of a sudden, he's going to the door. The door is not closed. It's wide open. And he hits something. He can't go through the door. It's wide open. He keeps hitting something. He can't figure out what it is. He takes his machete. He swings it into thin air, and it goes right through the doorway. But he makes his way to try to get into the room again, and he hits something again. How do you explain that? I don't know what it was, but many believe, no doubt, his angels are watching over you. Angels are all around you. And what we're going to do today is I believe that you're going to be encouraged today. You're going to be blessed. How many need to be encouraged these days? I believe a lot of us need to be encouraged these days. This is going to bless you. Furthermore, it's going to challenge you. You know why? Because the angels are either going to carry you to heaven like they did Sister Carolyn about 9:30 on Friday morning, or the other angels, if you say no to Jesus and reject God's sacrificial gift, the angels have no other alternative but to follow the instructions to throw someone in the lake of fire. Well, angels, four questions today. Angels all around us. Four questions I want to propose in this study. I've been on a trail here for the last couple of weeks on the study of angels and how they're to worship God and how God has given to us. He has dispatched His angels all around us. Four questions, and here where we're going. Number one, go ahead and write the question down. We're going to open the text in a moment. Number one, when were angels created? When were angels created? Number two, what happened to the angels? What happened to the angels? Number three, how did angels minister to Jesus? How did angels minister to Jesus? And then number four, why do we need angels to minister to us? Why do we need angels to minister to us? You've got a copy of the Word of God. We're going to first turn, and I mentioned to you, today is a little different than normal. I wish we had a passage of Scripture that had everything we needed to know about angels in one passage with just a few verses. However, that is not the case. You've got to compare Scripture with Scripture, as we necessarily don't do an expedition or an exposition, but rather an expedition as we take the Word of God. Matthew chapter 18. Stand to your feet if you would as we read a couple of passages of Scripture in regards to angels. If you're able to stand, would you, in the reverence to the reading of the Word of God? By the way, you say, Pastor, why do you do that? Well, do you know in the days of Nehemiah, the Bible says he opened up the Word of God and the people stood as it was read. It's not something that we do just as haphazardly. The Scripture seems to indicate that. That doesn't mean you have to stand every time you're reading the Word of God, of course. But in Matthew chapter number 18. Matthew chapter 18. You remember that Jesus in the Matthew chapter 18, that here the Lord is in the area of the Sea of Galilee. We were just there a couple of months ago. It's over near where he was ministering, over in the area where he spent a majority of his time in ministry. And then the disciples come in Matthew 18 and they say, who's going to be the greatest of this? Who is it going to be, me? Is it going to be you? They were bragging, and well, not bragging, but at least they were wondering who was the greatest of them. At that time, the Lord Jesus looked at a child and he said, except you be converted as a little child, you shall in no case enter the kingdom of heaven. And in the context of speaking of little children, notice what he said. Look down in verse number 10, Matthew chapter 18 and verse 10, if you're there, say amen. Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. Their angels are always beholding the face of my Father. There's where we get that concept of guardian angels. Angels all around you. Now, we don't worship angels. We worship the Lord. Take your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Hebrews. In the book of Hebrews, you're well aware that the writer, many believe to be Paul, wrote this wonderful epistle urging those Christians to press on to maturity. Turn to Hebrews and let's look at chapter 13. You could read chapter 1, by the way. If you want to take notes, you want to say, well, I'd like to read chapter 1. It's a reference to the ministering spirits called angels. The writer here is speaking to us concerning the superiority of the Lord Jesus over the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, and the tabernacle, and being the over the house and the lineage of even Melchizedek. You can read that in the book of Hebrews, and then the hall of faith of Hebrews listed in chapter 11. Chapter 13, verse 1, notice with me, angels all around us. Chapter 13 and verse 1, let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers. Notice, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Isn't that interesting? Don't forget to entertain strangers, because some have entertained angels unaware. They were not aware that was an angel. Angels are all around us. What I want to do is take the Bible and see what the Word of God teaches and proclaims concerning the doctrine of angelology. All right, let's pray together. Father, I thank you now for the Word of God. I thank you for your presence. I bless you, Jesus. Lord, how this has encouraged my heart to know, Lord, that you've gotten angels all around us, Lord. You promised you wouldn't leave us, and yet you've got even ministering spirits all around us. Lord, we can't see them, but if you could open up our eyes, spiritual eyes, we might get a glimpse one of these days. But Father, we thank you. Your word is true, forever set in heaven. And we bless you, Jesus, that you made it possible to love us and to sacrifice your own self for my sins and the sins of the whole world. And we bless you, Jesus. You didn't stay on the cross. You arose conquering death, hell, and sin and the grave. And one day you're coming, hallelujah. One day you're coming as we sing, oh, glorious day. We love you. We worship you. I pray for a fresh cleansing now. Give us ears to hear, hearts to obey, will surrender. Change us, Lord. Give us a passion to love you more than we love anything else. Give us, Lord, heaven's vision to go and tell the good news. And we give you thanksgiving for all you're doing and what you will do. In Jesus' name, the church said, amen and amen and amen. You may be seated. Number one question is this. Angels are all around us. The first question is, when were angels created? When were angels created? But before we go to that first question, I want to break this into two parts as the Spirit of God has led me. Number one, the first part is description of angels. Got it? Description of angels. And number two, creation of angels. Now listen carefully. As I said, it's going to be hard to get everything that we're going to say. You might want to get the tape or try to write as fast as you can, because there's a lot of teaching about angels that may not line up with the scripture. How many want to know what the Bible says about angels? All right, for you others that raise your hand, I want to encourage you. It's what the Word of God teaches about it, not what somebody said, not preacher or some theologian or somebody on television or Hollywood, but the Bible. And so here, number one, the description of angels. Are you ready for this? The description of angels. Do you realize there are over 300 mentions of angels in the Bible? In fact, over 34 books of the Bible mention the word angels, angelos, messenger. 17 in the Old Testament, interesting, 17 in the New Testament mention the word angels. There are at least four categories of angels listed in the scripture. Number one, there's the cherubim. We'll see a little bit more about these cherubim in a little while. Number two, there is the seraphim. And that's, if you're wondering, that's S-E-R-P-H-I-M, seraphim. It's listed in Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up. You remember that great, glorious vision he had. And he said, whom will go? God said, who will go? Isaiah said, here am I, Lord, send me. But in that reference, there is a reference to the angels, seraphim. You got cherubim, you got seraphim. Number three, there are archangels. Archangels. According to my study, at least I found two references to archangels. Number one is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 and 17. Remember the passage? The Lord will descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and then the dead in Christ shall rise first. The Lord will descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel. That's in the context of 1 Thessalonians 4, when Jesus comes again and what we call the rapture, and the dead in Christ are raised first. The archangel will blow the trumpet. Did you hear that? Secondly, there's a reference in the book of Jude to an archangel. Michael, the archangel did not dispute about the body of Moses. By the way, we stood there at Mount Nebo where Moses was supposedly buried. No one knows exactly where it's at. Perhaps the reason is because they would make a shrine out of where Moses was buried. I don't understand all of that and know about that, but I know this. Michael is called an archangel. What is the role that Michael plays in the Bible? If you notice, Michael is a protector over Israel. Evidently, God has sent him as an archangel, as a guardian over the people of God, Israel. There, some suggest that Gabriel perhaps is an archangel. He is mentioned as well, although not specifically as an archangel. Evidently, he plays the role of a communicator, Gabriel. How many remember the story of Gabriel coming to Mary and telling her about the birth of the Savior of the world. Certainly Gabriel plays an important role. So we've got cherubim, we've got seraphim, we've got not only seraphim and cherubim, but we've got archangels. Number four, they're throne room angels, what I call throne room angels. How many angels are there? Have you ever calculated how many angels there may be? No one really knows how many angels there are. I mean, some suggest there are. In fact, the book of Revelation chapter 4 and 5 says there are thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon, I suppose there are probably billions of angels. Angels are watching over you. You want to know about angels? Question. Now, listen to me. Don't miss this. Babies are cute and all of that when we see baby angels portrayed in a statue or in a book or whatever. But technically speaking, babies are not necessarily accurately dividing the word of God. Why do I say that? Mark chapter 12 and verse 25, Jesus said, in the reference of someone passing away and going to heaven, remember these came to Jesus and said, this man has been married three or four times, and whose wife will he have, this husband, when he gets to heaven? And in the context of Mark chapter 12, verse 25, you can look it up later. Here's what he said. Jesus said, there's not marrying in heaven, but we'll be like the angels in heaven. And therefore, there's an indication that there'll be no procreation by the angels having babies as such. Although it's cute, but it's literally, from a technical viewpoint, it's hard to justify it from a scriptural viewpoint. However, you do what it, if you will, whatever. But number, not only babies, but what about, if you'll notice, I don't know if you've ever studied about angels, but did you know that there are mostly, I would say 99.9% of the time, angels mentioned in the Bible are males. M-A-L-E-S, males. Not females, but males. There is, however, a reference. Mark it down. Write it down. Zechariah chapter 5 and verse 9. Some say Zechariah 5:9 is a reference to a woman angel, according to Zechariah, who sees this prophetic insight into the future. He sees that this creature, like a stork, has wings. Well, most scholars believe that that's not a reference to angels at all. I'm just sharing this with you. You take it with it and go with it, whatever you want. But majority of the time, 99.9% of the time, what we're told by scholars is that there's no, and to my study, there's angels as appearing as men at the empty tomb, for example. And there were two men at the empty tomb. And so it appears that is the reference. Remember what Jesus said when he was hanging on the cross in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 26 and verse 53. Remember what he said? Matthew 26, 53. He said, I could call 12 legion of angels. Well, how many is a legion? At least 5,000. 12 times 5 is what? 60,000? Did I get that right? Or there could be more. Jesus said, I could call them just like that. A legion, 12 legion of angels. Angels are all around us. Description of angels. Number two, the creation of angels. When were angels created? When did it happen? You need to take your Bibles and turn with me, please, to the book of Job, chapter 38. Turn to the book of Job, chapter 38. If you don't get all of these, if you can't find all of these fast enough, as I said, my time is limited. Therefore, I've got to go rapidly through this. In the book of Job, chapter number 38, look in Job chapter 38, angels all around you. When were angels created? Well, there's a good little insight and inkling of the answer to that as we look into the book of Job, chapter 38. As you're turning to Job 38, you're well aware that Job, though he was an upright man, there was a day when the sons of God came before God and the devil came before God. And one affliction after another, after the devil was told that Job was a man who worshiped God, the devil challenged him and said, yes, but everything's going his way. And I'll talk about that a little bit later. And thus God allowed him a limited amount, I might add, to inflict Job. And yet Job did not curse God and die. He lost 7 sons. He lost 3 daughters. He lost his health. He lost his sheep. He lost his oxen. He lost his servants. And he went from sunshine to the rain, from the mountain to the valley, from riches to rags in just a heartbeat. How many know that things can change real quick? Nonetheless, in the midst of that, three friends, Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar, came to the Job. Finally, he had another friend named Elihu came. And in the midst of all of this, Job is in the scene. Satan's behind the scene, but God is always beyond the scene. How many know that God is always beyond the scene? Somebody ought to say glory. Anyway, look in chapter 38 and look what God finally answered Job. He didn't tell Job why he was going through what he's going through. He might not tell you why you're going through or me, why we're going through what we're going through. But come and believe that God is God. Amen. He can be trusted. Job chapter 38, verse 1. If you're there, say amen. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. Notice verse 4. Where was thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. God saying to Job, where were you, Job? Job didn't understand. Job was questioning God, understandably so. But look what God else says. Verse number 5. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who hath laid the cornerstone thereof? I want you to note verse 7. Don't miss it now. Don't miss it. Look at verse 7. If you're there, say amen. Okay. Verse 7. When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. In the context, he's talking about the creation of the world. Notice, when the morning stars sang together. Well, what does this mean, morning stars? All you have to do is understand this in apocalyptic literature, and understand apocalyptic literature, which uses symbols. You use other scripture to interpret the apocalyptic literature. All you have to do is turn to Revelation chapter 1 and see that God said he would put seven stars and his hand, and the stars are a reference to angels. Check it out. Well, whether that be so or not, still the sons of God shouted for joy. Now I want you to take your Bibles and turn, not only there, but turn to Genesis chapter 1. When were angels created? Look at Genesis chapter 1. I personally believe that angels were created on the day of creation. Well, I tell you what, you don't have time to look at this, but let me give you a reference, and you need to write it down, all right? Write this reference down. If you're ready to write it down, raise your hand. Good. Exodus chapter 20, verse 11. Exodus 20, verse 11. It says, for in 6 days the Lord made heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day, whereof the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. 6 days. The word for 6 days there, by the way, is the word yom. You know that from studying Hebrew. Yom, in an adjective descriptive term, is always used, are you ready for this? For 24-hour period of time. Now, I know there are those who suggest that there were millions of years. It's called a gap theory. I do not believe the gap theory. I do not believe between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2 that there was some eons of time and God used the process of evolution to bring about creation. I do not believe that at all. I believe personally these were six literal days, 24-hour, six literal days that God created the heavens and the earth, and he rested on the seventh day. Well, when did he create angels? Genesis 1:1. Look at it. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Let's say Genesis 1:1. Are you ready? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Time, space, matter. Right there. I believe God further created angels somewhere in that time frame. And I think the angels, according to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 31, the Bible says that everything was good. God saw that he made it, Genesis 1:31, and behold, it was very good. The angels didn't fall at that time. Satan didn't fall at that time. Rather, Satan, in my personal opinion, and according to many Bible scholars, Satan more than likely fell after Genesis chapter 1 and between that and Genesis chapter 3. When were angels created? The Bible says they were created evidently in these, I believe personally, on after God created the heavens and the earth, angels were created. Now get the picture. We read over there in Job 38, we read over there where the morning stars sang together and the sons of God shouted for joy. Can I tell you what I think about when I think about that? It's saying that the angels had the privilege of watching God create everything. Can imagine those angels. And they shouted for joy. The sons of God shouted for joy. I believe that's where I get the shouting from. You know, and the angels, probably the first day, they saw that God created the heaven and the earth. And the second day of creation, God put the firmament in the atmosphere, that water vapor barrier. The angels probably said, "Woo! Did you see that? Did you see God do that?" Day number three, God creates the garden and the herbs and the grass. The angels probably said, "Wow! Did you see God do that?" Then day four comes around and the sun and the moon and the stars are flung in their proper order. The angels probably said, "Glory! Glory!" It says they shouted for joy. They weren't just sitting there. Hold on. They probably were saying, "Wow! Look! Sun, the moon, the stars." Day number five, the fowls in the air, all the different kinds of birds, the fish in the sea. I wish you could have seen the variation of the colors of the fish as we stood there at the Red Sea. Actually, we went down into the Red Sea at this aquarium deal and got to witness the beautiful colors of all these different fish and the Red Sea. The Bible says God created the fowls of the air, the fish in the sea. You know what the angels did? Woo! Look at that! Look at all those fish! The sons of God shouted for joy! Wait a minute. Day six. Creeping animals. Cattle. Guess what else? Man. Formed from the dust of the earth. And God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. He became a living soul. And took from that man a rib. I've always told y'all, my wife, that's why I call her my prime rib, amen. And she was taken out of the side. Selah is the Hebrew word, which means his side. And one little boy said he had a side ache, and his mama said, "Son, what is all that about?" He said, "Mama, I think I'm having a wife." I don't know about that, but I know this. I know this. The angels witnessed that. Number two, there's a second question in the message, and it's this, namely, not only when were angels created, number two, what happened to the angels? What happened to the angels? In order to find this out, you got to take your Bibles and turn to the book of Ezekiel chapter 28. Look with me, please, in the book of Ezekiel chapter 28. And as you're turning to the book of Ezekiel chapter 28, you're well aware that this is a reference, the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel is the prophet of God, the priest, studying for priestly ministry, and yet God called him into the prophetic ministry, and he sees the glory of God in chapter 1. He's never the same. I want to tell you, if you see the glory of God, you'll never be the same either. Oh no, never be the same. No, never, no, never, no, never. And yet, God called him to go and teach and preach the word of God as a watchman on the wall. The first 32 chapters of the book of Ezekiel, are defined in retribution. God's demanding retribution. And then later, after chapter 32, it's restoration. However, we come to chapter number 28 in the book of Ezekiel. If you're there, say amen. And here we find a king of Tyrus. There's no doubt that there was a real literal king in Tyrus. And yet, Ezekiel was shown a little bit of a spiritual insight to see that was more than just a human being. Rather, it was an angelic being. Who was that angelic being? You decide as we look at Ezekiel chapter 28. We're reading in verse 11. Look at it, please. "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up the lamentation upon the king of Tyrus." I just mentioned that. "And say unto him," verse 12, "Thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty." Verse 13. "Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God." Well, Tyrus never went. King Tyrus never went to the Garden of Eden. He was in Lebanon, never in Eden. Therefore, one must conclude that this is a reference to another. Keep reading. He was in the garden. Skip down to verse 14. "Thou art the anointed cherub." Remember I talked about the cherubim earlier? "Thou art the anointed cherub. that covereth, look at verse 14, and I have set thee so, that covereth, that ruleth, thou wast upon the holy mountain of God, thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. What is this saying? Many believe that this was Lucifer who had access to the third heaven, the very abode of God. Whether it's the mountain referring to the Garden of Eden, the point is, the cherub, this most beautiful of all the angelic beings. Wait a minute, keep reading. Look at verse number 15. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created, till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of the merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God. I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Look at verse 17. Don't miss it. Look at verse 17. Don't miss it. Verse 17. Ezekiel, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, said this: thine heart was lifted up because of thy what? Beauty. What? Keep reading. Thine heart, God says, was lifted up with pride because of thy beauty, one of the most beautiful of all the cherub. Thou wast corrupted thy wisdoms by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that thou may behold thee. Pride was found in this character called Lucifer. Do you realize that the original word of lifted up, pride, is a picture, word picture of smoke? Have you ever been in a room that was smoky? Have you ever been in a place that was full of smoke? You can't see when it's full of smoke. So it is with pride. You can't see. And oftentimes, if we're not careful, pride can creep into us. We have this superiority feeling, or we think more highly of ourselves than we ought to, or we look down upon others instead of saying, Lord, I am what I am by your grace. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Isaiah 14. Here's another reference to this same account. Isaiah chapter 14. Angels all around you. Isaiah chapter 14. Notice Isaiah has some further insight and inspiration and revelation concerning this, Isaiah chapter 14. Now as you turn to Isaiah 14, you'll note that this was, and evidently there was, a real, literal Babylonian king. And Isaiah is writing to that. By the way, the first Isaiah is called a mini Bible. 66 chapters, interesting to note. As 66 books in the Bible, 39 the Old Testament, 27 the New Testament, Isaiah can be categorized. 39 in reference to God and God's judgment on the people of God, and then the final chapters in the matter of the promise of the Messiah. Now, look in chapter 14, verse number 12. In verse 12 of chapter 14, as I mentioned, there was a literal Babylonian king. However, as you read this, you must agree, or at least see this, that there is something else into the text rather than just this king of Babylon. That's done many times in the scripture, by the way. Verse 12, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation of the sides of the north. Verse 14, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. It's apparent that Lucifer, lifted up with pride, cost him his position, even though he was over had dominion evidently at that origin of creation until pride was found in him. He fell from the third heaven to the first heaven. How do I know that? Because Ephesians 2:2 says he's the prince of the power of the air. May I remind you, now I know this is a lot of scripture, I know I'm throwing this out, but hey, there's nothing like the word of God. I want to know what the Bible says about this stuff, and my goal and my desire is that we get in the word, let the word get in us, so that we'll be able to go and tell the good news and rightly divide the word of truth, being ready to answer every man of the reasons of hope that's within us with meekness and fear. Apologia is where we get our word apologetics, to give a logical defense of what we believe, not only about angels, but about our Lord. Lucifer otherwise called the devil or the dragon, will have a fight, and according to Revelation 12, will be kicked out of the first heaven into earth. Futuristic. One third of the angels fell with him. We don't have time to look at that, but if you want some references, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. If God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell. Evidently, they're fallen angels. They're evil angels as well as elect angels. Two-thirds didn't fall. Glory to God for that. But one-third did. And by the way, there are confined angels that are confined to the word is tartuos. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Evil angels are confined to a certain place, and yet other evil angels are loosed, as Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 6. How many remember when he said, we wrestle not against what? Flesh and blood, but what? Against principalities and against powers and against the rulers of the darkness of this world and against spiritual wickedness in high places. Let me say something. Angels are invisible creatures. But wait a minute. Did you know angels can take on the form of a human being? Where do I get that? Genesis chapter 18 and Genesis chapter 19. Three men showed up to talk with Abraham. Two of those were angels. They went to Lot's house in Genesis 19. Hey, Lot washed their feet. They ate bread. Angels can take on upon them, evidently, a human being, a human body. Well, what happened to Lucifer? Jesus said, behold, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. God kicked him out of heaven. But I got in my sanctified imagination what happened. Listen to me. He's over everything. He's the most powerful angel of them all, the cherub. He has the very access to God. Think about it. Day one of creation, day two of creation, the firmament placed in the heavens. I can hear him now. Look, look to the other angels. I'm over that. Day three, the herbs and the grass and the plants producing after their own fruit. I can hear Satan now. Look, angels, I'm over that. I'm in charge over that. Day four, sun, moon, the stars. I'm over all of that. The fish, the birds, the creeping animals. And on the fifth day, sixth day, God created man. Satan says, I'm over. And all of a sudden, Satan hears. God says, man has dominion to name the animals. Satan says, what? I thought I had control of all of this. I thought I was over all of this. Man, woman, now they have authority, dominion. I'll show them. I'll show them. And that dirty devil disguised himself, beguiled himself, tricked the schemes of wiles, became a serpent in the garden. Many believe it could have been a dragon in the form of a dragon. I don't really know. That's not the point. The point is this. Satan was in charge of everything, but I know how I can get man to fall. I can get him, and then I can get dominion again. Eve, you can do anything, but don't eat of the tree of knowledge about good and evil. In the day you eat it, you'll surely die. Devil says, oh, surely die. You don't believe that, do you? You're not going to. Look how good this fruit looks. It'll make you wise. You'll be just like God. Come on, take some of it. And the woman ate it and gave it to her husband, and he did eat of it. Sin came into the world. And the devil said, woo, I got him now. Now I'm in charge of everything again. From a theological perspective, we call that Satanocracy. You see, originally God had a theocracy, meaning he wanted to rule and reign, and that he had man as dominion, and yet all of a sudden man gave over the control. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. None righteous, no, not one. righteousness is filthy rags before a holy God. But I remind you that God didn't have to go back to the drawing board. In fact, he knew from eternity past to eternity future his plan down through the ages. He would send his son, the Lord Jesus, in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemn sin in the flesh. Romans chapter 8 and verse 3 says, made in the likeness of men, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Philippians 2 verse 6 and 7 and 8. Wherefore God has exalted him and given him a name which is above every other name. Bottom line is this: Jesus is going to come and sit on his throne. You mark it down according to Revelation chapter 20. He's going to rule and reign with a rod of iron, and the devil will be thrown into the lake of fire. Where did the devil come from? What happened to the angels? Can I tell you, angels are all around us. Write this verse down. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 21. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 21. Matter of fact, I want you to turn to verse, please. Look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Look in 1 Corinthians 4. After you write that verse down, you can look it up later. But look at 1 Corinthians 4. You need to know angels are all around us. God has placed angels all around us. Oh, bless his holy name. That ought to encourage you today, brother, sister, that we've got angels watching. Oh, we've got angels all around us. Wait a minute. Paul declares to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 5. You're looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 9. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 9. But let me just make a reference, please, just for a moment. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 21. Who's Paul talking to? Timothy. What's Timothy's role? To watch and to function in the New Testament church. That's right. They had false teaching and a bunch of problems going on. And Paul says to Timothy, watch over it. And you can see in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 21, that God, Paul says, the witnesses of God the Father, God the Son, and the holy angels. They're over the church. Hello. Woo, glory God. Thank you, Jesus. Sometimes we feel like we're alone. You ever felt like you were alone? You feel like you're alone about 2 o'clock this morning, 3 o'clock this morning, 4 o'clock this morning. I was turning and tossing and walking outside, and I said, Lord, and the Lord reminded me, son, you're not alone. 1 Corinthians 4, 9, if you're there, say amen. For I think, remember Paul's writing to the church of Corinth, a number of issues here, and yet Paul is declaring the greatness of God and the resurrection later in the book. I think that God, verse 9, I think that God hath set forth us, the apostles, last as it were appointed to death. For we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to who else? To angels and to men. Angels are all around you. Now, when were angels created? What happened to angels? Number 3, how did angels minister to Jesus? You got to listen quickly, because I really want to get to number 4. Remember the birth of our Lord? Remember Luke chapter 1? The angels declaring glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill to men. For today is born unto you a Savior in the city of David, Christ the Lord. You'll find a sign, a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes laid in them. The angels introduced the birth of our Lord. Not only that, but when Jesus fasted and prayed for 40 days and 40 nights, remember Matthew chapter 4, the angels came and ministered to him. Remember when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane? We walked down this hill called the Mount of Olives. We walked to a garden that is the Garden of Gethsemane. I saw a tree there. I'm telling you, this is what happened to me just a few months ago. I saw a gardener with a shovel in his hand. I thought about when Jesus was praying in the garden. Remember when he prayed, great drops of blood began to burst from his head? And he said, Father, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. You know what the Bible says about that? An angel came and strengthened him. Can I suggest to you today that if Jesus needed an angel to strengthen him, you and I need an angel to strengthen us. Angels all around you. Now, the death of Jesus on the cross, he said, I could have called a legion of angels. Matthew 26, verse 53. And then when they placed him in the tomb, you're very familiar with that. Matthew 28, an angel came and rolled the stone away. And then Luke's account said it was two young men in the form of angels. But wait a minute, how about his ascension? When he's stepping up on the Mount of Olives, getting ready to go back home, Acts chapter 1, verse 11. Two angels appear and said, "You men of Galilee, why stand you gazing upward? This same Jesus will come in like manner." How about it? The rapture. How about it? When Jesus comes again, the archangel will sound the trumpet. How about when Jesus, after the 7 years of tribulation, I wish we had time to cover the book of Revelation. Do you realize there's angels going to be preaching the gospel in the 7 years of tribulation? My. And at the conclusion of the 7 years of the tribulation, in Matthew chapter 24, Jesus says the holy angels are going to be present with his coming in glory and power. When he judges the nations, angels are going to be all around him. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 41, verse 31. Angels all around us. Last but not least, number four, and I'll be done. Why do you need angels? Why do I need angels to minister to me and to you? Can I tell you? Do you realize how strong angels are? Do you realize that angels have power to break chains? Peter's in prison. An angel comes and looses him. One angel comes, watch this, Daniel, and shuts the mouth of lions when Daniel is in the lion's den. One angel. But that's a powerful angel to shut mouths of lions. One angel has the power to blind. In the days of Lot, when the men of Sodom were outside, the doors were closed, and yet the angel had the power to blind everyone outside, those trying to get in. That's power. The angels, in the days of Elijah, he was tired. He was weary. Is anybody tired and weary? Anybody need God to strengthen you? The Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 19, God sent an angel to strengthen Elijah. Does anybody here need a little strength? May I suggest to you today, we need the ministering of angels, number one, for prayer, number two, for persecution, and number three, not only for prayer and persecution, but we'll look in a moment, for when this life is over. We're going to talk tonight about an angel that blocked the prayers of Daniel. Prayer. Could be your prayers are being blocked today. You need to read Daniel chapter 10. Persecution. ISIS has beheaded another third individual from Britain. Persecution. Angels all around you. Hey, bottom line is when you and I will cross over like Carolyn did on Friday morning, 9:30. Luke chapter 16, Jesus said, there was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a beggar named Lazarus who laid at his gates full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died, here's what I want you to remember, and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. Angels all around you. If you've ever stood by a bedside of somebody passing away, that I've had the privilege numerous times, it's a glorious sight. In a one way it is, in a one way it's not. Yet the angels, tell me, it's your time to pass away, will the angels take you to heaven, or will you be confined to the lake of fire? One way or another, angels are going to carry you. The angels are all around us. Let's stand together.